Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Freedom Report podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. And now, a word from our sponsors. Hey, gang, if you can't get enough talk about liberty, then might I suggest you add the Jason Stapleton program to your weekly podcast lineup. It's hosted by my good buddy, Jason Stapleton, and 5 days a week, Jason covers the current political and economic news from a libertarian perspective. It's a must-listen show for anybody serious about liberty, so go right now and download the show on iTunes and visit jasonstapleton.com to find out more. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, today is Monday, October the 5th, and man, this year has just flown by, hasn't it? At least it just feels like that to me. I'm getting ready to go, speaking of flying, I'm getting ready to fly back to New York City this week. I'm going to be in New York speaking to a raucous crowd at Liberty Fest in actually, it's in Brooklyn. Ian Chaffee sets up this event annually every year. The Liberty Fest is a big gathering of liberty lovers from all over the country, and I think there's some international speakers as well. There's going to be a lot of really cool people there. I guess Adam Kokesh is going to be the MC, so that should be pretty interesting. And there's going to be me, Tiffany Madison. There's going to be, oh gosh, a whole bunch of names I saw this morning that were pretty interesting. Let's see who else. Gary Johnson's going to be there, my competitor for the Libertarian Party nomination. Miriam Weeks. Are you all familiar with Miriam Weeks? She's Bell Knox, the famous porn star who wrote the article in Time magazine about student loan debt, the tuition, the college student loan bubble crisis that we're currently embroiled in here in the United States. She's going to be a speaker there, which should be very interesting. And yours truly, myself, I'll be giving a speech. The speech is going to be something that's been adapted from a podcast that I actually did in the past, which some of you might be familiar with. The podcast was, Should Libertarians Learn How to Fight? Or Libertarians Should Learn How to Fight. And in this, I go through a discussion of how libertarians can use strategies that George Washington used, Bruce Lee, Saul Alinsky, and Quintus Fabius Maximus, the old Roman general who beat the Carthaginian Hannibal. So it's going to be a really exciting talk, and I think you guys would love it. If you're going to be there, it's going to be this Saturday in New York, and I speak at 2:30 p.m. There might be a live stream, there might not. If there is, I'll post it on the Libertarian Republic and let you guys know so you can hear. But also, another big item in the news today is something that you might not have heard of yet, but I've actually stepped aside as editor of the Libertarian Republic website. Now, what does that mean? That means that I have given a new editor the role of the head of my flagship publication, the Libertarian Republic. His name's Keith Farrell. And Keith is taking over so that I can spend more time working on my presidential campaign, which is good for you guys because I see a lot of new users have subscribed since I decided I'm running for office. So I'm sure you guys wanted to hear the news about that. And the Freedom Report will continue on because it's a free podcast. So there doesn't have to be any kind of like, you know, switch or changeover, but, you know, starting a new show or anything like that for the campaign. So we'll continue to use the Freedom Report podcast and you'll continue to get great news reports and discussions like this during the campaign about the movement and about libertarian issues that you care about. It's just that I will not be running the magazine full time. That'll be up to Keith Farrell, and he'll be the one responsible for it. And he's a tremendously talented editor, and he'll be doing a great job there, getting everybody whipped into shape and putting out good content for you guys. So check out a lot of the new content that we're going to be having coming out of the website. And of course, I'll still be here every once in a while in a limited capacity writing, but I'll still be doing my podcast, so I won't be going away. I'm just going to be sort of taking a back seat and letting Keith's star shine. All right, so let's talk about the news of the day. And this is the big story, the one that crossed my desk today that, you know, sometimes when I'm thinking about what to talk about in the show, for example, I'll just be like, gosh, I'm stumped and I won't have any ideas. I'm like, no, none of this stuff sounds good. And so it'll become really difficult for me to come up with an idea. But today, the first thing that came across my desk, I was like, boom, this is the podcast. This is what the show is going to be about. And this was written by Jerry Taylor at Fox News. And the title of the piece is called The Collapse of Rand Paul and the Libertarian Movement That Never Was. Yeah, this is the kind of thing that makes you go, you know, if you're a liberty lover like me and you've been a fan of Rand Paul, you know, then this is the kind of thing that you go, oh man. And it's on Fox News of all places. My old employer, what are they doing? But you know, the sad thing is that when I read this story, it makes a lot of sense. It's got a lot of good points. And, you know, we have to admit our faults, and we have to be able to admit them so that we can move on and get better and stronger and do a better job. Now, this piece is, it's not bashing of Rand Paul, really. It's much more bashing of the movement. And this is something we have to talk about, because this guy, Jerry Taylor, seems to have pretty good insight on what makes us tick. So I'm going to read from this. I'll stop every once in a while to let you know what my opinion is on that. And then I'll let you know what the difference is between me and Jerry. Let's get started. Jerry Taylor, published October 2nd on Fox News. The libertarian moment in American politics, foretold just last year in the New York Times Magazine, is like the horizon, always retreating as we advance upon it. The political events of 2015 are a brutal reminder about how far this country is from embracing libertarianism, and how alien those ideas are even to the purported shock troops of the freedom movement. While libertarianism's opponents can take heart, its champions are setting their cause back by pretending that all is well. The collapse of the Rand Paul campaign speaks volumes. In a 15-person field, Paul is the only candidate who looks even remotely libertarian: social tolerance, foreign policy restraint, and limited government. He started the campaign with decent name recognition, a seat in the United States Senate, lavish media attention, a serious will to win, and a battle-tested national political operation inherited from his father, Ron. If there were any significant support for libertarian ideas in the GOP, any at all, Rand Paul would be near the top of an otherwise crowded, fragmented field that is fighting over every non-libertarian voter in the party. Yet he's polling at a mere 1% among Republican voters nationwide, and has a higher unfavorability rating than anyone else in the GOP race. According to an August survey by the independent polling firm Echelon Insights, far and away the most popular candidate nationwide among libertarian-inclined Republicans is Donald Trump, the least libertarian candidate in the race. Libertarians who can't stomach Trump scattered their support without any ideological rhyme or reason. 11% for Marco Rubio and Jeb Bush, 9% for Ted Cruz and John Kasich, 8% for Carly Fiorina, 7% for Paul. The secret of Trump's appeal to Paul's base is that a large segment of the Ron Paul revolution leavened its libertarianism with a pony keg of crazy. Birthers, 9/11 truthers, a wide assortment of conspiracy theorists, many of whom believe the Federal Reserve to be a modern manifestation of the Illuminati, and naked racists rivaled the number of reasonably sober libertarianish voters among the faithful. Trump won their hearts by throwing even more crazy into the mix and stirring up a white working-class populism last given political life by George Wallace. I'm going to continue now. This is my third, and I've got to jump in here because obviously we're touching on a lot of the topics that I really care about, and these are the things that I know a lot about, and we need to get some insight in here. So the secret of Trump's appeal to Paul's base, right? So a lot of these people are supporting Donald Trump, and I have seen this over and over again online. The people who supported Ron Paul in the last election, a lot of them are supporting Donald Trump. Why? Because there has always been a pony keg of crazy in the liberty movement. 9/11 truthers, birthers, you know, conspiracy theorists, you know, the GM. You know, I posted a meme over the weekend about showing a woman who had a, you know, anti-fluoride sticker on the back of her van, and she was smoking a cigarette, you know, and it was irony posted out there by my friend Science Babe. But it was meant to be a joke and to show the ridiculousness of the mindset of a conspiracy theorist who'll smoke a pack a day and then worry about a little bit of fluoride in the water system. And there was enormous anger that I had shared this. And this is from most of my readers are libertarians who tend to be like me, the more sober libertarianish voters, the less conspiracy truthies kind. But the fact that there was such a large contingent of people upset about the fluoride issue means that this article is right and the liberty movement is in a lot of trouble. And if anything, ladies and gentlemen, that's actually one of the reasons why I've decided to run for president, because if Paul steps down, we're going to need somebody who is a sober libertarian to lead, carry the torch for the time while we're stuck here in the wilderness. And it looks like we're going to be stuck in the wilderness for a long time, ladies and gentlemen. This is bad news. And I'm not going to mince words or be one of those optimists that he describes, that Jerry Taylor describes here, one of the people who refuses to see the truth about the reality of the fact that Republicans do not want to nominate a libertarian for their candidate. And Rand Paul is the reason is reasonably the most libertarian of all these voters. And the ones and the people who don't support Rand Paul are the birthers, the truthers, the conspiracy theorists, the fluoride freaks, the ones who think the Federal Reserve is the Illuminati, right? The ones who freak out about the Bilderbergs. You know, I saw a guy this morning who was, you know, is posting hatred on my page, and I saw, you know, I looked at his page just to see, you know, just to check his mind, you know, stability of his mindset, and I saw he's, you know, it's all freaking out about the Bilderberg group. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got bigger issues to fry. If you think that a meeting of ultra-rich, ultra-powerful people in a cabin in Amsterdam is going to change anything by, you know, if you reveal the minutes of that meeting that you're going to change anything, you guys don't understand how the system works. And that's why I wrote a story that was based on an article that Steve Horowitz had done about, they're called conspiracy theory socialists. And these are people who they believe that, you know, these grand plots, people can actually get away with these grand conspiracies. But the reality is that if they can commit enormous conspiracies for evil, why couldn't they do enormous conspiracies for good, such as the Obamacare, right? I'm not going to get into the conspiracy theorist mindset here. I just don't want to get off track. I'm just saying that, you know, Donald Trump now gets these people's support. And I've even said this before to some people that Donald Trump has actually done the liberty movement a favor. If some of you know me, have known me for a while, you've heard I've always spoken out against the white supremacists, against the paleo conservatives, the anti-immigration jerks, and the truthers, and all of that. And they've always said, oh no, Austin, you know you're not a libertarian, blah blah blah. And now here they are supporting Donald Trump. And that just, to me, shows the reality of these people. These are not these are not libertarians, okay? They're just freaks and conspiracy theorists and nativists and tribalists. And so them supporting Donald Trump has actually shown, they've actually done us a favor, and I've said this around, they've done us a favor because I've been trying to get rid of the Nazis and the conspiracy theorists and the freaks for a long time, and now they've sort of exited the liberty movement and gone to Trump. Well, you know, that leaves us with a large voting bloc has left the liberty movement. They're gone. They're under Trump now. Lock the doors. Lock the doors now before they come back. The psychos and the racists and the conspiracy theorists and the anti-GMO activists and all the non-libertarians, the people who think they're libertarians because they hate Monsanto and corporatism and capitalism, and they think that capitalism is corporatism, and they're actually Bernie Sanders. These are the kind of people who are like, well, I'd either support for Ron Paul or Bernie Sanders. They've gone out to the party. They've gone out of the reservation. Get them out and lock the doors behind them so that we can actually build something of value here. This is what I'm doing now, ladies and gentlemen. This is my plan, and the Liberty Movement will be better off for this now that they've purged themselves. You know, they're all out as excited. You know, all the leftist kooks are out supporting Bernie Sanders, and all the right-wing kooks are supporting Donald Trump. Fantastic. Let the libertarians support a real libertarian for president. Not Gary Johnson, but me. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to finish this article and I'll go on a rant here, but I'm just saying, now is our chance, ladies and gentlemen, to build a much cleaner tree of liberty. You know, we're planting in much cleaner soil because we don't have the Nazis anymore. We don't have the truthers. They're all behind Trump and they're all behind Sanders. You know, like, while they're away, the mice will play. Let us now build a movement, a freedom ninja army of intelligent, libertarian voters who are sober and excited about issues and galvanized about issues like the Federal Reserve, not because of the Illuminati, but because of the value that they steal from our pocketbooks when they inflate our currency and the problems of central planning. And that's where we're going to win, because in the future, not now, but in the future, we can win if we learn how to fight. Listen to my speech. I'm going to actually record my speech for Liberty Fest before I leave for New York and upload it the day of so you guys can hear it. But it'll be all about this. And you know, how libertarians can take this moment and learn how to fight. So moving on. So Trump won their hearts by throwing even more crazy into the mix and stirring up a white working class populism last given political life by George Wallace. Paul let these voters down because he was disinclined to offer the distasteful dog whistles that his father traded for extremist support, much less the louder, baser appeals that are Trump's stock in trade. And that's true. Paul is letting these voters down because he wasn't going to give the same dog whistles that Ron Paul gave. He doesn't pander to the conspiracy theorists. He doesn't pander. He pissed off the GMO activists a few weeks ago with, I thought, a very clever discussion that he gave about the mandatory labeling of GMOs as an intervention in the free market and a blow against poor people who have to pay higher prices for labeling of the food. But do you think the poor people cared? No, because the poor idiots who don't understand science or economics are all like, "We'll force them to put labels on the food. We have a right to know what's in our food." No, you don't. You have a right to grow your own. Interference in the free market. I mean, and these are the people who are like, "Austin, you're not a libertarian. Bernie Sanders 2016. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I could be your next president if everything goes all wrong. If everything goes wrong for all the major candidates in the next 12 to 16 months, this guy right here that you're listening to on the microphone could be your next president. Let's be honest. It could be a lot worse. Okay, it could be a lot worse. Now listen to this. The second voter bloc that Rand Paul hoped to bring into his camp. Wait a minute. I need to go back. Hold on. I'm sorry. I didn't really get this point beaten into your head yet. I'm sorry. I'm violating the NAP on this one. Okay, Paul let voters down because he was disinclined to offer the dog whistles, right? So the dog whistles. What's a dog whistle? A dog whistle is something that only dogs can hear, right? So if someone in politics says that you are giving, a politician gives a dog whistle, it's that they're saying some sort of veiled rhetoric that is supposed to inflame a certain sector of the population that can hear it, that knows what he's talking about. So if you use the word cuck-servative, right? Certain people are going to know what I'm talking about when I use that phrase, right? Or if I say all lives matter, right? And that's sort of a dog whistle. It gets a certain group of people behind the ideas, right? And Ron Paul did this to great extent because if you don't know, in the late 80s and 90s, there were some newsletters that came out, and those newsletters were not just dog whistles, they were whistles. They got Ron Paul in a lot of trouble because a lot of people in the libertarian movement put together a lot of racist BS in these newsletters, and they went out under Ron Paul's name, and all of his supporters, you know, even myself for a short time when I first heard about it, I didn't believe it, you know, defended him and said, you know, "Oh, he didn't write it, but it still had his name on it, and I would be very embarrassed if something like that happened to me and it had my name on it, and I would have taken credit and said, hey, my bad." But I think Ron was trying to cover up for some of his buddies who might have still be, you know, who don't want to be painted as racist. And whoever his buddies were that wrote that and then let Ron Paul flap in the breeze while us, the Ron Paul revolutionaries, were trying to get him elected. And, you know, meanwhile, the Iowa caucuses are coming up and the press is making, you know, hay from these newsletters. Whoever actually wrote those and allowed all of us to suffer and allowed Ron Paul to suffer by not coming forward and taking the credit for that, if you wrote it, well, you do know who you are, and I think I know who you are, and you are dog, you are lower than dog excrement. And I, you know, again, nobody knows 100% who did it. A lot of people point fingers, but all I'm saying is, it's honestly at this point, I don't care because it's so over now and Ron Paul isn't running, but his poor, the son, he doesn't get smeared with it because he didn't have anything to do with that, thank goodness. But now we see that a sizable portion of the electorate and a sizable portion of the Liberty Movement are anti-Semites, and they are neo-Nazis, and they're white supremacists. And that's why they don't support Rand Paul, is because Rand never threw out any red meat to the rednecks like Ron Paul did. And so now we find ourselves in this lovely situation where the Liberty Movement is decimated because the leftists have gone to where they belong with Bernie Sanders, and the right-wing fascists are behind Donald Trump. Fascists and conspiracy theorists are behind Donald Trump. He fulfills that role perfectly. And so Rand, unfortunately, gets left in the cold with a small liberty movement of people who support him. And then, of course, there is an even smaller cabal of people who support me compared to Rand. And we are the last stand for limited government principles, a sane, rational, sober minarchism of the liberty movement. The second voter bloc that Rand Paul hoped to bring into his camp, this is Jerry again, Tea Partiers, have likewise rejected the Kentucky Republican. That's because there are few libertarians there either. According to a survey conducted by the Public Religion Research Institute, more than half the Tea Party is made up of the religious right, while only 26%, the smallest ideological bloc within the group, can be loosely described as libertarian. And Tea Partiers have always manifested a large degree of nativist populism. It should be no surprise, then, that candidates doing best with Tea Partiers are Donald Trump, with 37% support, Ted Cruz, with 19%, and Ben Carson, 14%. Rand Paul, 2% of Tea Partiers. Sure, one can argue that Paul has run a subpar campaign and that a more adroit effort would have produced better results. But given the above, it is hard to argue, as some do, that Paul would have done better had he run as more of a libertarian. If real libertarian votes were there for the taking, someone would have come along and done the harvesting. If there was truly a $20 electoral bill lying on the sidewalk, it's hard to believe that none of the other 14 starving candidates would bother to pick it up. Yet this is precisely the narrative that the prophets of the libertarian vote would have us believe, an epic political market failure. There's good reason that political professionals, those with the most to gain from an accurate reading of the political landscape, do not pander to the libertarian vote. It doesn't exist. The most thorough search for libertarian sentiment was conducted last year by the Pew Research Center. They asked 10,013 adults 23 questions about a variety of social and political issues, and then used cluster analysis to support respondents into homogeneous groups. Pew found that Americans who, quote, resemble libertarians form a group that is, quote, too small to analyze. No more than 5% of those surveyed. It's true that if we avoid asking people about concrete issues and instead ask general questions, we can, if we squint hard enough, see a great deal of latent libertarian sentiment out there. It has been noted, for instance, that 59% of the American public is, broadly speaking, libertarian, in that they answer yes to the question, would you define yourself as fiscally conservative and socially liberal? Political scientists and campaign strategists, however, almost universally dismiss self-identification and general sentiment surveys as functionally meaningless. Both academic investigation and hard-earned political experience tell us that attitudes about specific governmental programs are far more telling than asking people what labels or characterizations describe them best, right? So if you ask everybody, in other words, if you ask everyone if they're socially liberal and fiscally conservative, most of them will answer yes. But if you ask them if they want to cut any of the programs that would result in that, then almost none of them will agree with you, right? So if this is what's wrong with polling, this is why polling is such BS, because if you read a poll about something, you know, if you ask people a question on a poll a certain way, you can ask them again in a different way 20 minutes later, and they'll answer it in a totally different way. So again, polls are almost useless, but when they are useful, it's when they're compared side by side, like this, when you say, hey, 59% of people say they're libertarian, so they self-identify, right? But when you ask them politically pragmatic questions about the eventual result of what those policies would be that you would believe because of that, they don't answer libertarian at all. Libertarians, however, can take heart from the fact that political sentiment is moving their way in some areas. Gay rights, drug decriminalization, increasing outrage over heavy-handed police tactics, growing concern over an unjust legal system, disgust over crony capitalism, and opposition to military deployments abroad all suggest that libertarian arguments can have political force. But just because people buy libertarian arguments when it comes to civil liberties or foreign policy does not mean they are more likely to buy them on taxes, spending, or regulation. If they were, then Bernie Sanders Democrats would be Rand Paul Republicans. Libertarians love to preach the virtues of markets. Yet, in the marketplace of ideas, their bundled product has been regularly and thoroughly rejected for over a century. Until libertarians acknowledge that market verdict and rethink either what they're selling, how they're selling it, or both, they will remain on the margins of American political life. And for friends of liberty, that would be a tragedy. And this is Jerry Taylor. He's the president of the Niskanen Center, which is a think tank in Washington, D.C., that dedicated to the advancement of liberty and pragmatic policy solutions. So, you know, these are good people. These are our friends in D.C., and you should definitely consider very soberly what they have to say here. And if you're a conspiracy theorist, libertarian, a 9/11 truther, GMO, anti-vaccine activist, and you're listening to this, you know, what are we selling? You know, what are we really selling here? What kind of liberty? Are we talking about freedom from government, freedom or freedom of government to squash our rights and force people to label things and, you know, demand an investigation into an independent investigation into 9/11, even though an independent investigation would mean it's independent and you could do it anytime you wanted to, because the independent means not independent from government. So go ahead and do a 9/11 investigation, guys. We already seen your YouTube videos. So what we're selling is wrong. How we're selling it is wrong. That's why we're losing, and that's why I'm running for president as a libertarian, because I want to set a good example. And I might lose. You know, I might lose this nomination to Gary Johnson because I don't believe that 9/11 was an inside job. I might lose this nomination because I think that vaccines are a good thing for our kids. I might lose this nomination because I think that fluoride is probably good for your teeth, and that while teeth socialism, which is essentially what it is stupid, I'm not gonna argue against the purported health benefits of fluoride. And I've read about the poison. Guys, just don't send me any more articles about this, okay? It's just, I'm not saying the debate is over, because, you know, if you're gonna be a real skeptic, then you can always change your mind later with confronted with conflicting evidence, and I could reassert my position. But on this issue, Please, it's over, okay? It's done, right? Just quit. Let's fight the fights that we can win. And I'm going to tell you how to win. This Saturday at 2:30 p.m. in New York City, I will be giving the speech of my lifetime, my first appearance as a presidential candidate in front of a crowd. And they may hate me. They may burn that building down. There may be a riot when they hear some of the things that I'm going to say. And they may not like it. But ladies and gentlemen, if we do not reform our message, and if we do not learn how to win, we will continue to lose, and the libertarian moment will forever be on the horizon until it fades into sunset and we realize that it was over and there never was a libertarian moment to come, and that we've been chasing nothing but the darkness. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Freedom Report podcast. If you enjoy the show, and sorry, today was kind of a downer. If you enjoy the show, do us a favor, subscribe to us on iTunes. So when you're over there and you're subscribing to my man Jason Stapleton's show, you'll give the Freedom Report podcast a 5-star review, and you'll leave us a written review as well to help us spread the message of economic freedom and personal liberty. And like I said, Libertarian Republic is in good hands under my man Keith Farrell. Don't forget to check him out and keep spreading the message. And don't forget, guys, you got to come back every single day. That's your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at the Libertarian Republic.